chapter 12 of Genesis, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. So may the Lord bless his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we praise thee for the life of faith, and we thank thee for the victory of faith, that it is the victory that overcomes the world. We thank you for the gift of faith, for we cannot originate it. It is from thee, for thou art its author, and you are its finisher. And we pray that tonight we may get a new glimpse of the ministries of faith, that thy name will be glorified in us and through us, to the end that we shall be a blessing to others, and that we shall glorify thee. We ask this, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, automatically, instantly, and without suggestion or application, you were enrolled in school. God automatically enrolled you in the school of faith. Now, the school of faith is a very difficult school. You never graduate until you get to glory. Life is a classroom for the school of faith, where you live, where you work, in the everyday activity of life. This is a classroom. The Bible is a textbook in the school of faith. The faculty in this school is listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Here you have the faculty for the school of faith, and the dean of the faculty is a man whose name is Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham, a man who walked 100 years by faith. Now, we want to examine tonight, and in the will of the Lord, I won't be able to finish tonight. This is another one of those link sausage messages. We'll just have to cut it off when we get to 7 or 8:15, if at all possible. And we'll finish next week in the will of the Lord. But we want to look at what it means to walk by faith. That's what we want to do. Because if we're saved tonight, we're in the school of faith. And we learn something here in Hebrews 12 and 13, what it means to walk and to live by faith. What it means. Now, in Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 13, Abraham teaches us that if we are going to walk by faith, we must understand the ministries that faith performs for us in our lives. And there are five of them that are listed in Genesis chapters 12 and 13. And faith performs these five ministries for us as we trust God. First of all, faith brings us out. Genesis chapters 12, verses 1 through 4. Faith brings us out. Now, you can always tell when a person is walking by faith if you pay attention to his ears. For Abraham heard God's call. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you're going to walk by faith, you're going to have ears that are sensitive to the word of God. For this is how faith comes. We get faith from Holy Scripture. The word of God is always a foundation for faith. And over and over again in the earthly life of our Lord, he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So you can tell a man who is walking by faith when you examine his ears. God's voice came to Abram. And notice, Abram did not receive explanations. He received promises. You don't live on explanations. You live on promises. God said to Abram, "Get thee out. I will, I will, I will." Those are promises. Later on in Genesis 15, he adds another "I will." The promises of God. Now, if you're going to walk by faith, don't go around looking for explanations. For the life of faith does not depend on explanations. It depends on promises. Because God doesn't owe me one explanation. God doesn't owe me an explanation. But God, in his grace, he continuously makes promises. Now, when you start to walk by faith, hearing the word of God, God says, "I will show you." And it's an amazing thing that the people of God, God says, "My sheep hear my voice." That's John 10:27. And I believe that everyone here can quote that verse, John 10:27. Can you quote John 10:26? You see, John 10:27 doesn't stand alone. It stands in contrast. In John 10:26, our Lord is speaking to the Pharisees, and he says to them, "You believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice." And my friend, you can't claim to be a child of God if you are not listening for the voice and to the voice of the shepherd. "My sheep hear my voice." The Pharisees claimed to be, but he said, "You're not of my sheep because you believe not. My sheep hear my voice." And he said, "I call my own sheep by name and I lead them out." God says, "You take the first step and I will show you more. You take the next step and I will show you more." Now, this is just the opposite of the world. The worldly man, and the worldly man in his heart says, "You show me and I will believe." No, God says, "You believe me and I will show." We don't live on explanations. We live on promises. Not only does God say, "I will show," he says to Abram, "I will make." In the 11th chapter of Genesis, you have the Tower of Babel. Why did they build that tower? They said, "Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." They built it in order that they might make a name. God called Abram, he says, I'm going to make you a name. Everybody knows about Abram, don't they? But who knows about Nimrod? Very few. Are you trying to make yourself a name? God says, you follow me and I'll make you a name. And when God makes it, it's made, friends. You see, if you want God to make you, start living by faith. Faith takes you out, and your ears are open to the voice of God. And God says, I will make, I will show, I will bless. These are the promises of God. Now, why does God do all this? God does it in order that we might be a blessing to others. We have today in the church too much of this individualistic Christianity that says, I want to get a blessing, but not, I want to be a blessing. Oh, what a contrast. There are people that are constantly searching for something, but they never seem to find it. You see, God blesses us that we might bless others. You are not a reservoir. You are a channel. A channel. You see, faith brings us out. You can tell a man of faith by his ears. But more than that, you can tell a man of faith by his eyes. You see, the Word of God tells us that in the 7th chapter of Acts, that the God of glory appeared to Abraham when he dwelt in Mesopotamia before he ever dwelt in Haran. That's what we read there. And God's glory was revealed somehow to this man Abram. And Abram began to look for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You can tell a man of faith by his ears, but you can tell a man of faith by his eyes. Abram continuously, he looked above the horizon. And Hebrews 11 tells us he looked for a city that hath foundations. See, you can tell a man of faith by his eyes. The man who has beheld the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that man measures the present by the future. He doesn't measure the future by the present. He knows he can't. He lives today in the light of the future. They measure the immediate by the ultimate. I said to a lady in this city, it was in the city of Cary, about 2 weeks ago, as I was sitting in our home with my wife, I said to her, what's really going to matter for you 100 years from today? What's going to be important? Oh, she said, I'll be dead. I said, I know it. What then? And she just looked at me with a blank stare. I said, there's only one thing that's going to matter. That is your relationship to Jesus Christ. And if it's the one thing that is going to matter, then it is that which should cause you most concern right now. What is your relationship to Jesus Christ? The man who is walking by faith, you can tell him by his ears, but you can tell him by his eyes. He measures the immediate by the ultimate. Furthermore, the man of faith is evaluating the things of this life by the heavenly glory that is yet to come. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul looked at the affliction that he endured. He said it was light. In relation to that, the glory was heavy. He looked at his affliction and he says it's but for a moment. He looked at the glory and he said, it's forever. The man of faith. Faith brings us out. It brings us up, beloved. You can tell a man of faith by his eyes. Now, to the world, the man of faith is an eccentric. And I'll tell you something, to the church today, the man of faith is an eccentric too. He's an eccentric. You see, the average church member today does not live by faith. But beloved, once we've seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, nothing else really matters. The God of glory appeared to Abraham. We read in Acts chapter 7, and I think it's about verse 2 or verse 3. This is the first appearance of God to Abram. It took place when he was serving idols, according to Joshua 24, back in the land of Mesopotamia. And Abraham was never the same. Faith brings you out. Now, beloved, you can tell a man of faith by his ears. He hears the voice of God. You can tell a man of faith by his eyes. He's measuring the immediate by the ultimate. But you can tell a man of faith by his feet. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. It doesn't tell us that Abraham had feeling. It says, by faith, Abraham. What did Abraham do? He picked up his feet and he started to move. He put one foot in front of another. Well, that is a rather simple thing, isn't it? Faith touches every area of life. What is faith? Faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but faith is obeying in spite of circumstances. That's faith. This morning, when our brother Lacey read from Hebrews chapter 11, I was reading along with him, and I want to just have you turn with me for a moment. When we talk about you can tell a man of faith by his feet, I just want to say a few things about the life of faith from this man, Abraham. Verse 8. Faith obeys, friends, in spite of circumstances. That's faith. In verse 8, we read, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. From that verse, I learned that faith obeys when you don't know where. He didn't know where he was going. God just told him to go and he went. You can tell a man of faith by his feet. He obeys when he doesn't know where. When you look at verse 10, it says, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And faith obeys when you don't know when. He didn't know when he was going to get to that city, but he looked for it. And we sing that great hymn, I know whom I have believed. That's the chorus, based on 2 Timothy chapter 1. But in every stanza, the writer says, I know not, I know not, I know not. And when you get to the last stanza, he says, I know not when my Lord shall come at night or noonday fair. But faith obeys. Not only when you don't know where, faith obeys when you don't know when. Notice verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself conceived strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You see, faith obeys when you don't know how. She didn't know how God was going to do it, but she obeyed. Now look down at verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Faith obeys when you don't know why. You see, the life of faith is not a life of explanations. It's a life of promises. Oh, the school of faith is a blessed school. It's the most exciting school there is. And if you're saved by God's matchless grace, you're enrolled in it. You see, faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but faith is obeying in spite of circumstances. Faith is obeying in spite of consequences on the outside or feelings on the inside. When you walk by faith, faith brings you out. That's the first ministry of faith. It brings you out. I wonder tonight, am I speaking to someone who needs to be brought out? You're somewhere where you shouldn't be. Are you somewhere you shouldn't be? Faith brings us out. God says, I can't bless you, and I can't make you a blessing unless you come out. Faith brings us out. Where are you? Has faith brought you out? Can you say tonight, oh, thank God, faith brought me out. He hath delivered me from the power of darkness. He hath translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son. Faith brings us out. That's the first ministry of faith here in Genesis chapter 12. Second ministry of faith. Faith not only brings us out, but faith brings us in. In verses 5 through 9, you know there are some Christians that are always going out. The only sign that they ever see in the door is exit. But God brings us out that he might bring us in. God brought Israel out of Egyptian bondage in order that he might bring them into the land of Canaan that he had promised to them. God brought Abram out of the idolatry of Ur of the Chaldees that he might bring him into the land of Canaan, promise it to him, and eventually Abraham is going to have it. He's going to have it all. God promised it to him. There's some people who are ever going out, but they're never coming in. And there are other Christians who are in a revolving door. They don't go anywhere except in a circle. Has faith brought you in? Faith brings us in. God calls me out in order that he might bring me in. When Abram got to the land, he did two very interesting things. He pitched his tent, and he built an altar. You see, here are two things that mark the man of faith. The man that God brings out, you can tell by his ears, by his eyes, and by his feet. The man that God brings in, you can tell by his tent, and you can tell by his altar. You see, you can tell a pilgrim by his ears, his eyes, his feet, and his tent. It speaks of the fact that he is a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. Physically, I live in a tent, and so do you. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, we know that if our earthly house of this tent be dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands. Abram moved that tent whenever God told him to. A tent. You see, Lot, on the other hand, Lot moved into the city, and he lived in a house. It's easy to move a tent. It's hard to move a tri-level in the city. You see, a tent can be picked up, it can be taken down, it can be relocated. Abram is a man of faith. He lived in a tent, and he was prepared to move. Are your tent pegs set in concrete? Or are you prepared to move at the voice of the Master? Faith brings us out. Faith brings us in. Now, Abram was 75 years old when God moved him. He was 175 years old when he died. Now, you can tell a pilgrim by his tent. But you can also tell a pilgrim by his altar. Whenever Abram moved, the tent went with him, but he reared an altar to God. The tent, that was his relation to the world. This is only a temporary place. His altar, that was his relationship to God. Now the tent without the altar said nothing. And when Abram was at the altar, he was obeying God. If I am moving around, but I don't have an altar, I have no testimony. You see, these two things go together. The tent and the altar. You can always tell the children of God by the tent and by the altar. Now, this is a balance that God wants to bring into the Christian life. God brings me out in order that he might bring me in. And you want to know something? Every time he brings me out, I have to leave a lot of baggage behind. Ever notice that? You know what Mark Twain said? He was an ungodly man. But he said some good things. He said, a move is the equivalent of a good fire. And he's right. We accumulate so much. This room is filled. The attic is filled. The basement is filled. Oh, how much we accumulate. Oh, the baggage we accumulate in life. Not only in the attic and in the basement, but in our lives, the older we get, friends, we discover that we can do more by doing less. That may sound paradoxical, but it's true. We can do more by doing less. We get involved in fewer detours. God brings us out that he might bring us in. I wonder tonight, am I speaking to someone who needs to be brought out? By faith, Abram came out. And by faith, Abraham came in. He came into the land, and everywhere he went, there was his testimony. He pitched his tent between Bethel and Hai. You see, the house of God on the one hand, and a heap of ruins on the other. The heap of ruin, that is where I came from. We have nothing that we didn't receive. It's all grace. And if God had not reached down and delivered us, we would still be in our sins. But Bethel, the house of God, that's a place into which he brought me. Faith brought me out that he might bring me in. Well, there are three more ministries, and I'm going to do something tonight I rarely do. I could take up the next point, but that'll run us way over. I'm going to do you a favor tonight and stop a little before time. I know I'm going to make everyone angry. But let me ask you, in all seriousness, do you need to be brought out? Is there baggage that needs to be left behind? Do you need to be brought in? Do people see the balance in your life? Can they tell that you're living not for this age? Are you living in a tent? Have you reared the altar? Have you set up your testimony for God? One thing real quickly. A number of years ago, I was given the blueprints and the specifications to do the electrical work, to be the boss on a big job in the city of Myerstown. The job lasted about a year and a half. There were all kinds of men on that job. Lathers, plasterers, bricklayers, pipe fitters, pipe coverers, all kinds. The first day I got there, I put up the flag, let everybody know where I stood. Oh, I got ribbed by many on the job. Oh, there are those who made smart remarks. But I'll tell you, I had a Bible reading whenever I was there at noontime, and I saw a couple saved on that job. And I saw one man especially who was a believer restored to the Lord. Faith brings you out. Faith brings you in. Where are you? Now let's pray. Our Father, we sang tonight, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And we thank you that everyone who is saved by thy divine grace, everyone is enrolled in the school of faith. And we thank you for these ministries that faith performs for us. First of all, it brings us out, and we thank you for it. And we thank you that it brings us in. It gives us a right perspective. And we raise our Ebenezer, we build our altar, and we live in a tent. And we thank thee, O God, that we can examine the future, the ultimate, and the immediate by the ultimate. Help us, O God, to appropriate these glorious truths and the ministries of faith. For Jesus' sake, amen.